During the night, while the people of Vrindavan were asleep, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. The fire surrounded the inhabitants of Braja on all sides and began to scorch them. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur have commented that perhaps a loyal friend of Kaliya had assumed the form of a forest fire to avenge his friend, or perhaps the forest fire was manifest by a demon who was a follower of Kamsa's. Tam utaya sambrantha dhyamana vajokasha krishnam yayusta saranam mayamu manujam ishwaram. Then the residents of Vrindavan woke up, extremely disturbed by the great fire threatening to burn them. Thus they took shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who by his spiritual potency appeared like an ordinary human being. Purport. The Shruti, or Vedic mantras, state, Swarupa Bhutaya Nitya Satya Mayakyaya. The Lord's eternal potency named Maya is innate in his original form. Thus, within the eternal spiritual body of the Supreme Lord, there is infinite potency, which effortlessly manipulates all existence according to the omniscient desire of the absolute truth. The residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna, thinking, this blessed boy will certainly be empowered by God to save us. They remember the words of the sage Garga Muni, spoken at the birth ceremony of Lord Krishna, Enena Swarga Durgani Yuyam Agyastarishyata. By his power, you will easily be able to cross over all obstacles. Therefore, the residents of Vrindavan, who had full faith in Krishna, took shelter of the Lord in hopes of being saved from the impending disaster threatened by the forest fire. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militham Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. During the night, while all the people of Vrindavan were asleep, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. The fire surrounded the inhabitants of Braja on all sides and began to scorch them. Then the residents of Vrindavan woke up, extremely disturbed by the great fire threatening to burn them. Thus they took shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who by his spiritual potency appeared like an ordinary human being. Throughout Krishna's divine Leela in Braj Bhumi, we find again and again Krishna is making wonderful, inconceivable arrangements for his devotees to always think of him, fixing their consciousness on him exclusively. Here we find what Krishna puts his devotees through. Who can understand? The residents of Braj Bhumi, they have been just suffering the terrible experience of seeing Lord Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. Before that, the cowherd boys, after drinking poison, they died. Seeing Krishna in the coils of Kaliya was more painful than death. Because to the residents of Vrindavan, and to all true devotees, their love and attachment to Krishna is far greater than their attachment to their own body or their own life. As we have heard the story, the gopis, they were willing to reside within hell and suffer the turmoils of hell if even for a few seconds, by doing so, they would relieve Krishna of his headache. The residents of Vrindavan, their only real pain is to see the suffering of Sri Krishna. And seeing Krishna in this condition, they were in so much anxiety. Of course, from another point of view, we can understand that if Kaliya were to destroy Krishna, then the whole of Vrindavan would have been finished. First of all, the residents of Vrindavan could not live without Krishna, as we cannot live without air to breathe, as we cannot live without water to drink. We could live without air, and we could live without water. But for a devotee to live without Krishna, it is an inconceivable idea. It is impossible. That is the nature of a pure devotee. And for Krishna to be finished means the whole Braj Bhumi would be finished. Agasura knew this. Agasura, that great demon, he knew that if I just kill Krishna, then everyone will die because they will not be able to tolerate living without him. In this way, we could finish off this whole Braj Bhumi in one stroke because he is more dear to their lives. In fact, he is their very life. So in seeing Krishna, the Paramatma, the Lord of their heart, in this condition, they were seeing the imminent death of all of themselves, all of their loved ones. It was a very, very great difficulty they had to endure standing on the banks of Jamuna. But then Krishna brought great, great joy to them by dancing on the hoods of the serpent Kaliya. Demigods came down to play their beautiful drummed instruments. And the residents of Braj Bhumi were simply infatuated, enchanted by seeing the graceful dance of Sri Krishna. And when he came down, when he came out of the water, beautifully decorated with wonderful garlands and jewels and silks that were offered to him by Kaliya and the Nagapatnis upon surrendering, then they felt the greatest joy. They could appreciate Krishna more than ever before when he came out of this situation. And there was a great, great, wonderful festival that took place on the bank of Jamuna. And they were so blissful, so happy, so just overwhelmed with blissfulness that they decided, why even go home? This is the place where Krishna has subdued the Kaliya serpent. This is the day where we are celebrating his victory and his reunion again with us, so let us just stay here tonight. This way, they all took rest in great enjoyment. But here we find that in the middle of the night, while they were all sleeping, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest and surrounded on all sides the inhabitants of Vrindavan and began to scorch them. Sometimes a neophyte devotee, when he's facing some obstacle or some great problem or a crisis in his life, he turns to Krishna and thinks, just settle it once and for all. Save me. And he's hoping that once this crisis is finished, then his life will be smooth till the end. But it doesn't work like that, not in Krishna consciousness. As soon as Krishna solves one crisis, he puts another one right before you. Usually it becomes worse and worse. Why? Because the more you could tolerate, the more he gives you to tolerate. He'll give you according to your capacity. And as we make advancement, we're supposed to have a greater capacity. So we should not hope that the problems and crises will go away. We should simply hope that we never forget Krishna, and that our devotion and our love for Krishna will expand and increase, and our service to him will increase continuously. That should be our consciousness. Here we find the Vrindavan devotees. They were just under such distress, and then they were celebrating, but how long did Krishna allow them to celebrate? Only a couple hours, and all of a sudden they're in the middle of a raging fire. If we were to experience once in our life any of the conditions of the Vrindavan devotees, we would just remember for the rest of our life, do you know what I had to go through? But the residents of Vrindavan were going through things what we can never ever even conceive tolerating every day. Every day demons were coming. It is described here by Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that perhaps it was a friend of Kaliya that took the form of a fire to revenge them and to burn them. This is material life. When you undergo some attack by someone, if you are defeated, then those who have defeated you simply want to continue to just trample upon you, to keep you down. They will never give you peace. It's not that you're defeated and then you could live happily ever after. When you're defeated by an enemy, then they want to constantly suppress you to make sure you never come up. They want to constantly destroy your good name and fame, destroy all your facilities to ever come back. So in this way, once you are defeated, it's a never-ending saga of persecution and duress upon our life. And if you are victorious, even if you defeat your enemy, then all of the colleagues and the friends and the associates and the affiliations of your enemy, they will be constantly plotting and planning to destroy you to get revenge. In this case, you constantly have to be on guard. There's never any peace. So where is there peace in this world? If you win, you constantly have to be on guard, battling to protect what you have won. And if you lose, you're constantly being beaten down to make sure you never come back up. This is material life. So Krishna killed Kaliya, but that was not the end. All of Kaliya's friends, it is described perhaps that they took the form of fire. In fact, so many of Krishna's, the demons were interrelated. Putana, Bakasura, Aghasura, they were all brothers and sisters. When Krishna killed Putana, Bakasura said, I can't tolerate this. He has killed my sister, my beautiful, loving, chaste and faithful sister. He must be destroyed. And then Krishna killed Bakasura, and Aghasura was thinking, what nonsense, he must be killed. My brother, who's such a nice gentleman, who's so pious and so good, I must take revenge. This demon Krishna, he has killed him. And then Aghasura, Krishna killed. In this way, we find throughout Krishna's lila, throughout all situations in this material world, there is always this confrontation. So Krishna, He wants to make sure his devotee is always increasing his love and devotion. He will never allow you to be stagnant, because love is never stagnant. If love is not expanding, then it diminishes. It cannot remain in one level. Krishna is always eternally bringing our love to higher and higher and higher platforms, if we simply allow him to do so. But an insincere devotee who really has no desire to surrender, that person just wants everything just the way we want it, so that I can just be on my level of Krishna consciousness and just remain here and try to be peaceful. Isn't this our tendency? All right, let's get all these problems out of the way. Let's solve this crisis. Then I can just be peaceful and just remain where I am in my Krishna consciousness. This is the tendency. Lord Jesus Christ, he said, either you be hot or you be cold, but if you are lukewarm, I spit you out. And the tendency of every neophyte devotee is to be lukewarm. That I'm chanting my rounds every day, and I'm following the four regulative principles, and I have a nice little home, and I have my children, or I have my nice little space in the brahmachari ashram, and everything's actually all right. I will just continue on like this, very nice. I don't want anything else to happen. Let everything be as it is, and I will be content. This is the nature. We want to be lukewarm. But when a crisis comes in our life, you cannot be lukewarm. You have to get either hot or cold to deal with it. You have to surrender to Krishna. You have to helplessly, hopelessly cry out for his mercy. You have to fight. You have to fight against Maya. You have to fight against Maya's agents. If you're not fighting, you're being defeated. This is a fact, that this world is a battle. Maya is always attacking us at every moment, whether we know it or not. If we do not know it, that means we are an illusion. If we know it, that means we're awake. Maya is always attacking us. And if we are not fighting, that means we are losing ground. Maya is there, trying to steal away your enthusiasm for devotional service through so many means, through so many tricks. And she's so subtle, she is so thorough, that she can be defeating us and we do not even know that she's there. Like a disease, like this AIDS virus. You get it, you don't even know you have it, but it's just eating your body away from inside. It's just little by little, just marching forward through every cell of your body, just marching, the troops of Maya. And you're just thinking, oh, I am healthy, I am wise, I am very fortunate, look at everything is very nice. And pretty soon, the virus just has completely conquered everything, and then you can't even turn back. And then you realize, I've had this for 10 years, and I didn't even know it. Now I'm thoroughly defeated. But actually, on a subtler level, Maya is defeating all of us in this way, if we are not very, very cautious to understand that she's there. Through so many subtle processes, in a very innocent way, she just creeps into our life, and she just little by little takes more and more and more and more of the property of our consciousness. And by the time we know it, she's already put her flag right in our heart. She's taken possession. Therefore, a devotee must know that if I'm not fighting, I'm losing. Krishna consciousness is a spiritual warfare. It's a battle against Maya, who's all-pervading in this world. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord is most fortunate when Krishna arranges his life or her life in such a way that we never become complacent. Complacency means spiritual death. Krishna says in Gita, you must give up your egoism and lethargy, Arjuna, and you must fight. These are the two great enemies, egoism. I am the enjoyer, let me enjoy, and lethargy, to be complacent. To think, I have reached my level of Krishna consciousness that's comfortable for me now, and I'm going to stay here until I decide by my own free will that I want to go beyond. I have surrendered up to the level that's very suitable and comfortable for me now, and I don't want, and I will not go beyond that until I make spiritual advancement and decide I will go beyond it. Let me be as I am. Don't ask me to do anything more. Don't ask me to give any more. Just let me be. Huh? This is called complacency. But Krishna, when his mercy is upon us, he will not allow us to be complacent. He will constantly be putting crises in our life where we have to reevaluate our whole vision of this world and our priorities. And we have to struggle. We have to struggle to take shelter of the Lord at every moment. Krishna, I don't know what to do. I do not know what not to do. Please save me. Because actually, fire is such a destructive force. What is a bomb? Right now, these nuclear bombs, they are the greatest, most powerful weapons in the earth, are they not? But what is a bomb? It's basically fire. It explodes, and when it explodes, fire comes out, big sparks. Huh? And a mushroom cloud. What is a cloud? It's smoke. Where does smoke come from? Fire. Isn't the mushroom cloud that went over Hiroshima? It was all smoke, was it not? There's a saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. So the more smoke, the more fire. So those nuclear bombs, they are simply fire. The power of fire. And what is fire? It's just one of the elements of Krishna in its natural, purest form. Any one of the elements that Krishna has created can destroy the entire world. Water, when there is a tidal wave, everything is finished. Air, when there is a hurricane, everything is finished. Ether, when there is no air, everything is finished. Fire, when there's a nuclear bomb, when there's a forest fire, everything is finished. Earth, when there's an earthquake, everything is finished. And these natural calamities, which are simply the power of any one of the five elements, can destroy everything. Because they are Krishna's creation. And through these five elements, Krishna is all-powerful in this world. So here, a great, great fire was surrounding them. And they were being scorched. We must understand that these people, they were living through this. It's not that they were just like in a movie screen, just watching. Huh? They were being scorched. And in this condition, they woke up extremely disturbed by the great fire threatening to burn them. And what did they do? They took shelter of Krishna. Our life is meant to be a constant moment-to-moment endeavor to take shelter of Krishna. And a devotee welcomes every situation which helps him to take shelter of Krishna. In times of easiness, in times of comforts, complacency is our nature. In times of distress, if we are sincere, we take shelter of Krishna. If we are insincere, we give up our faith. We think, why does Krishna do this to me? Did any of the residents of Vrindavan think like this? Why is Krishna doing this to me? They were just thinking, Krishna, you are our only hope. You are our life and soul. Only you can save me.
This is Krishna consciousness. We must be enthusiastic. We must be determined. We find so many times older devotees, they lose their taste for Krishna consciousness. So many times older devotees who have been around 15, 20 years, they just don't care really to get up for Mangal Arati. They don't care so much to chant their rounds. They don't care so much to listen to anybody, to surrender. They're more concerned with, you know, I'm an older person and I've been doing what I'm doing and I have my level and nobody should tell me what to do. What does that mean? That means they have lost to an extreme degree the mercy of Guru and Krishna. They have become complacent. They have become familiar. They are taking the benediction of devotional service for granted. Therefore, Krishna says that we must become determined. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drita brita namashyantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. Krishna says, those who are always chanting my glories and endeavoring with great determination, they understand the supreme truth. They enter into the real realm of bhakti. The longer we are in the Krishna consciousness movement, the more our determination should be. Not the less. This is the tendency. I've worked for so many years. Now I've attained a certain level. Now I'm going to rest. Now I will retire. No. Srila Prabhupada, when he was 81 years old, he was still anxiously aspiring with great determination to serve his guru beyond anyone. He was setting the example. So this is a great danger. Sometimes devotees become confused. Why? I'm a new devotee and I'm working so hard and here's an older devotee. He's just not doing anything. Huh? It's because at every step we have to have dhritavrata. We have to have a determined vow to fight maya and push on. And it is the service of the advanced Vaishnavas and the spiritual master to keep that fire within us, to keep that determination, that enthusiasm and inspiration within us, to push forward, to surrender, to become humble, to do more and more and more, not less and less, not be comfortable. Krishna consciousness is not a comfortable situation. Krishna consciousness is a situation of ever striving for deeper realizations and higher service. That is bhakti, that is love. And that is the means of attaining it. So if we do not want to fall into the syndrome of maya, of becoming complacent at any time in our Krishna consciousness, we must stand up and fight. We must have a determined vow to do more and more and more. And by God's grace, he helps us by putting these crises in our life, by which we really have no choice, where we either have to stand up and fight or we have to leave. That is his mercy. Therefore, when devotees are put in terrible crisis conditions in life, generally we find they do one of two things. They either start losing their faith and they just start hiding in little shells to avoid these difficulties, or they increase their determination and their enthusiasm. They take shelter of Krishna more than ever before and they fight. One makes spiritual advancement, and one loses the chance. That is Krishna's mercy. That he's giving us this opportunity. We must take these opportunities. So do not think that now some distressful situation is finished, now I can enjoy. Never think like that. You should know that however many obstacles you overcome, another obstacle is waiting in front of you. But you should welcome these obstacles. You should be thankful. You should know that without these obstacles, I will simply become lukewarm. They are keeping me hot. Huh? Jesus said, hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. So the only way to keep hot is you have to have fire under you. Huh? Otherwise, you become lukewarm. You have to have fire under you. And it is the spiritual master's duty to keep that fire under you. And through Krishna, Krishna arranges so many difficulties in our life, or so many struggles in our life, just to keep that fire under you. We need that fire. It is a necessity for our spiritual purification. And let that fire make me so hot, so determined, so enthusiastic to seek shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Hari. And tomorrow we will read how Krishna reciprocates with the loving prayers of his devotees. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you are saying that whatever difficulties which we have in our spiritual life, that should go on increasing. And that is the real test that Krishna really wants us to advance in spiritual life. But when the difficulties is increasing, due to our past conditioning, you are saying that when the difficulties come for us, the only shelter is to think of Krishna and just to take the shelter of Krishna. But when the difficulty increases, Krishna used to think that he will take a shelter of me. Because our past conditioning is such that we don't take the shelter of Krishna. We go away from Krishna and we fight it out, that we will do it by our own endeavor. And at that time, the situation is such a crooked way that we lose the charm of spiritual life and we go into material life more and more and more. So instead of advancing in spiritual life, we are going away from spiritual life. So in that crux, what should we do?
If you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day with a submissive heart in the association of devotees, then you will understand the proper process of dealing with the struggles of this world. If you are not sufficiently hearing and not sufficiently associating with advanced devotees, then our own conditioned nature will take control of our lives. But through that association, we will be nourished with the proper intelligence to know Krishna's mercy, to identify it for what it is, and to appreciate and to surrender to it. Any other questions?
Maharaj, you just said that those who are attached to material opulence, irresolute determination is very difficult. Like, how is it?
Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam taya parita chetasyam pyavashayatmaka budhir samadho navadiyate. For those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Because what does it mean to be attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence? It means to take shelter of those things, to seek refuge, to seek relief in those things. You cannot serve two masters. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita vatpara vasehi asyandriyanitasya prajna pratishtita. Unless we restrain our senses, we cannot fix our consciousness on Krishna. Our consciousness is being diverted. And as long as we are attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, even if we are Krishna conscious, we are lukewarm. Only through detachment can determination come into your heart. We have to practice detachment. Because as long as you're attached to those things, your mind is intoxicated, infatuated by those things. And in that state, there is no scope for any real determination for devotional service. Sense enjoyment and Krishna consciousness go ill together. They are opposites. It's like trying to start a fire and throwing water on it. The fire will never grow as long as you're throwing water on it. We're trying to develop our determination for devotional service. Detachment is like wood, and attachment to sense enjoyment is like fire, is like water. It's exterminating all of our spiritual qualities. Therefore, unless we have a determined endeavor to give up sense gratification and give up attachment to material opulence, determination for Krishna consciousness cannot take place. So a devotee is always striving to control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Any other questions? Yes.
Today you have raised a very important question about people when they are getting older. Now, I have observed the same thing, but my question is this, Maharaj, that the physical body often starts giving difficulties. Like Prabhupada used to say, I'm an old man, and so on and so forth. So, should we be concentrating on some subjects where we are strong at and do the best we can on that, or should we be doing several things? Do you understand?
Vyavasayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hinantasya budhaya vyavasayana. Krishna says those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one.
Thank you.
What does that mean? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gave his commentary to surrender to the order of Guru. If he gives us many things, we concentrate on many things. If he gives us one thing, we concentrate on that one thing. But ultimately, it's only one thing, the order of Gurudev. We must concentrate all our attention on that. Any other questions?
Maharaja, in this material life, those people who are not a...
Just like in the ISKCON movement, Srila Prabhupada ordered all of his devotees to preach, to spread this preaching mission. But the tendency of many, when they got a little older, now I want to be comfortable. Now my body is a little older. I need more comforts. I need more rest. I need more this. And they just, the whole preaching spirit was so much diminished. But those who just kept preaching, assisting in any way in the preaching mission, they just make more and more and more advancement. They're on fire. 20 years later, they're on fire to preach. If we give up the mission, we give up the endeavor for this preaching mission, then we become complacent. Then we lose our Guru's mercy. His mercy is in his instruction. Srila Prabhupada used to say, do as I am doing. Preach till your last breath. And we're thinking, oh, now I'm 40 years old. Now I preached when I was young. Now I should just settle down and start making some security for my future. The whole concept of Varnashram Dharma is as you grow older, you become more detached. You start seeking less and less security in material things and more security in God. That's the whole concept of Varnashram Dharma. But material civilization is just the opposite, right? When we're young, we're adventurous, we're detached. And then as we get older, we have our insurance, and we have our house, and we have our property, and we have our this, and we just, when we get to 50 years old, then we're really thinking about our security. We're really thinking about our material prosperity maintaining itself after I retire. But what is Varnashram Dharma? At 50 years old, you become a Vanaprastha. And you and your wife leave everything and go to the jungles to take shelter of Krishna. The Varnashram system means as you get older, you become more detached and more fired up about spiritual life. But we have lost that understanding. We think, as I get older, then I should just start thinking in terms of a nice, secure way of maintaining myself and being comfortable and being provided for. Huh? But that is an illusion. Krishna consciousness means whether you are a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, Krishna consciousness means a constant struggle for more and more and more detachment. We know that death is coming closer, and we should become more and more and more detached as we are approaching that final destination. What does it mean to be detached? Srila Prabhupada came to America with nothing. He was detached. And when he left this world, he had tens and millions of dollars worth of property under his control. So is that detachment? Yes. Because he wasn't using any of it for his own sense enjoyment. He was just struggling just to preach Krishna consciousness. And whatever facilities he had, he just used it for more and more Krishna consciousness. So we must understand, what does detachment mean? It doesn't mean just giving away things. It means giving up our own selfish motivations and using everything for Krishna. And struggling to do more and more seva for Krishna. Till the day we die, we must be struggling for this. There's no question of retiring in Krishna consciousness and just saying, oh, now everything is all right. To our last breath, we are struggling to do more for Krishna, to give more to Krishna, to keep less for myself. That is the battle. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.